Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. As you know, Steve's a very, very happy boy because we got an NHL team coming to Seattle.
Just a couple more years, baby.
And I know, I saw Steve in the office just basically beating Hair Club over the head. You know we need hockey jerseys. You know we need to have hockey jerseys. We have to have KISW hockey jerseys. You know that has to happen.
Dude, it's awesome, especially if you're like in a rec team and you're trying to put together a team and you're trying to figure out what to do with jerseys and it gets a little costly, like trying to get everybody's money pooled together. Why don't you just tell everyone on your team to become the Rockers and get KSW jerseys? They're customizable. You get your own number, your name, and all that good stuff.
I love
it. They look awesome.
They look sweet. They really, really do. And like Steve says, put your own name or number on there. You want more info? You want to get one of these jerseys? Maybe for somebody in your life? Maybe, you know, the holidays didn't bring you the jersey and they should have? Go to KISW.com.
Let's play.
Pump it up for Monday!
Yeah!
Pump it up! Pump it up! That's right, baby. I'm feeling good now.
Yeah?
I am. It's
Oh, now you're feeling good?
Well, yeah, because, you know, first full week of the new year, that always sucks.
It does. So now we get to pump it up for Monday, and yeah, here's the first full week. Hooray! And get all excited for it.
Yeah.
How is it that BJ sounds optimistic and you sound miserable?
Yeah, he just brought me down.
Wow, you reverse things?
It's the Monday,
it's because your fence almost fell over from those
winds. Yeah, and I had to deal with this stupid windstorm and just,
homeowner.
We'll have to talk about it later, but homeowner Rev is, I'm enjoying this because, I mean, he's a guy that all he ever had to worry about was his Mountain Dew and his internet connection. That's all he worried about.
Like, I was like, do I buy these new video games or do I buy shelving? And I'm like, oh, shelving, that's pretty nice.
Now he's a homeowner.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. He's a family man.
And it feels like his home is a money pit.
Yes, it is. I love it.
I love decorating. Oh, God. Okay. We got to stop about this.
Yeah.
Let's just get on with the game. Did he just yell, I love decorating?
Yes, he did.
I did. And that's why I realized I got to stop talking about this
and
stupid
Mitch
stuff.
Mitch is sitting in this room and saying, and these are the guys that did well in the rating.
Yeah.
I didn't realize just how bad our show was. Yeah. I just figured out. I'm sorry, Mitch.
So you were doing it wrong.
You know what?
Somebody
should have over there in that other office should have said to me, Mitch, it's not about the competitor.
No, it really isn't.
Again, start looking in the mirror, my friend.
So how about
this?
Those
is what beat my ass.
You really didn't know how.
Okay. Oh God, we must have been just terrible. I knew we were bad. I didn't know we were this bad.
You didn't know how far the bottom
God
was,
almighty.
Did you? You really fell far, my friend. You really had no idea, did you?
Oh my goodness. Let's get to our contestant today. We got Sean in Bellingham. Sean, are you there, sir?
Yes.
Excellent. What's he playing for today, Steve?
Ticket to the PBR Tacoma Invitational over at the Tacoma Dome on Saturday, March 30th. Go to KISW.com for all the details. You want tickets, they're available at Ticketmaster.com.
All right, Steve.
So very true.
Steve, get out of here.
No, we have Mitch Levy here.
Mitch Levy from
Radio Great.
And don't forget, Mitch Unfiltered. It's a brand new podcast he's got, and it's at iTunes or MitchUnfiltered.com. Go check it out.
Thank you. And Mitch, you will be playing today. You'll be taking on Steve.
Me?
Yes.
You and Sean.
I don't know
any
Sean. It's going to be a tag team here against Steve.
Oh, Sean, I hope you're good.
Now, we've got...
Because I can help you with the backup center of the Miami Dolphins, but that's about it.
For those playing at home, you got 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you'll only get 3 guesses per question. Both of you guys can try this out, Mitch and Sean.
Yeah, whoever thinks they know the answer, just yell it out.
Think you know your answer, you can just yell it out. Mitch? Where did he go?
He went to a soundproof studio?
Yeah, he has to go to a soundproof studio so he can't hear any of this.
There's nothing soundproof in this studio.
That's a very good point. We do our best.
Mitch, are you ready?
Well, yes.
All right. Sean, are you ready?
Sean is the man.
Yeah.
All right. Beginning with B, what word of French origin means an arrangement of flowers?
Okay.
Yes. Bacon comes from the flesh of what barnyard animal? Yes. What alcohol is in a kamikaze cocktail?
Sake.
What was that?
Sake.
No. Anybody? Mitch? Nothing?
No.
Pass.
No.
I'll just say they pass. Yeah. What is the common translation of the popular Latin phrase carpe diem?
Oh, you guys.
I thought it was a sports thing. Don't they say that in sports? No?
No.
All right, pass.
Nothing I know of.
What is the upward curving part of the front of a saddle called?
I think the collar is gone.
You grab it.
Oh, he left.
He loses.
Oh, no.
He loses.
All right. Well, Mitch
he's
can
the
still,
Seahawks.
Mitch can still play.
No,
well, Mitch,
do you know? I've been embarrassed enough the last couple of years.
There you go.
So you wanted to see? If you wanted,
all right, then. Well,
Migs the champion. I knew the pork question.
All right, then.
That's it.
No more time.
Congratulations, everybody.
Yep. Two correct.
We want to thank his cell phone company for dropping him like that.
Thank you for that one, Sean. And if something happens, then I'll call you.
Did he get any right?
He got
a couple right.
He got the first two correct.
Right. Drop the deuce.
And nice. Yeah.
You're tied. You won already.
Drop the deuce and then drop the call.
Yeah.
Things go okay?
Hey, well, you know, hey, listen, technology wasn't our friend. We lost the guy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Hey, Steve.
Blindfold on.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Steve's bird boxing it.
Yes. Beginning with B, what word of French origin means an arrangement of flowers?
Bouquet.
Yes.
Nice.
Bacon comes from the flesh of what barnyard animal?
That would be a pig.
Yes. What alcohol is in a kamikaze cocktail?
Oh, crap.
Rum?
No.
Vodka.
Yes.
What are you wearing on your face, by the way?
Oh, in honor of Bird Box, I'm wearing a blindfold.
Okay. That was, some people thought he cheated by looking at it like he could see things.
Okay. All right.
What is the common translation of the popular Latin phrase carpe diem?
Seize the day.
Yes.
Robin Williams.
What is the upward curving part of the front of a saddle called?
Horn?
No.
Stirrup?
No.
Curved?
No. The video game Tetris was created in what decade?
80s.
Yes. Jazz musician Miles Davis is known for playing which instrument?
Trumpet.
Yes. Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones and Al Gore were roommates at what Ivy League university?
Yale.
No.
Harvard.
Yes. What was Ralph Cramden's job on
bus
the
driver?
Yes. Someone in a relationship purely to obtain money is called a what digger?
Gold.
Yes. And Steve, you win 9-2.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah. You really didn't have any issues there with that one, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in good shape, buddy. So you get your song.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right, man.
Congrats to Bohemian Rhapsody.
There you go.
What is the part of the saddle?
Yeah, Golden Globe winner.
Do you have a guess?
What's the part of the saddle that you grabbed?
I know I'm going to know when you say it.
The pommel.
Oh, I don't think I would have known the pommel. No,
yeah, I've ever heard that term.
That little knobby.
Well, hold on a second. Isn't there a pommel horse in gymnastics?
Oh, there you go.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Okay. Is that right?
All right. See that? See, sports can help you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't until it was too late.
Yeah. Yeah. So, congratulations, Steve. You won the 9 correct.
Thank you. Oh, 9. You are checking out the PBR Tacoma Invitational at the Tacoma Dome on Saturday, March 30th. Caller number 9, 206-421-ROCK. With us, Mitch Levy. And, of course, we've already addressed, if you're just joining us, you go, yeah, well, Mitch is off the radio. There was some controversy. We addressed it earlier. Plus, Mitch does really go into perhaps the best way to describe what happened in his life, where what led up to it, what happened when it was going on, and then post like what's been going on. Check out his podcast, Mitch Unfiltered, on iTunes and MitchUnfiltered.com.
Thank you.
Because we want to talk some football. That's the other reason we brought you in. We hoped we would be talking about,
Steve, what's the name of the new podcast, Steve?
Mitch Unfiltered.
No, what's the name of the new one that we dropped?
I think I want to puke. Yeah, I want to puke.
There's a lot of people that feel that. A lot of Seahawks fans feeling that way this morning, aren't they?
We talked about it this morning, and I mean it, though. Like, you know how you always hear that someone says the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results, but doing it over and over. And I was like, I'm watching the definition of insanity with this team on Saturday night.
A lot of blame to go around. You know, when you lose a game like that, there's a lot of blame to go around. It's not all on one person or one set of circumstances. You can blame a lot of things in that game. The defense made some really bad penalties at the end. They didn't stop them in those last couple of drives, and there was plenty to go around. But
I love the people that have been harping on the onside kick.
Like, the onside kick.
That was the only reason why they
lost
win the game.
They lost their fat kicker, and he got hurt, and so the punter had to try to do the best that he could.
Not that Janikowski would have done much better. He's not a great onside kicker.
No, he's like the worst onside kicker ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, or one of the worst onside kickers ever. But the game was lost before the onside kick, and what you're talking about is to me, clear. It's been the narrative of this game, not only locally, but nationally since it ended and while it was going on. And look, the Seattle Seahawks brought us a lot of joy, a lot of unexpected joy this year. Mm-hmm. So you have to start there, right? You have to start by giving Pete Carroll and his staff, including Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator, who we're killing now for what happened on Saturday night. You got to give that coaching staff and that organization a lot of credit. I don't know what you guys thought, but I looked at this team during the preseason and during the early stages of the season, and I saw 6-10, 7-9. I saw lack of depth. I saw a lot of question marks. I mean, they didn't win a game in preseason, 4-0 for 4, and they didn't win their first. They lost their first six games out of the bat, and they turn it around, go 10-6, and get in the playoffs, get into the wild card, and have a postseason game. So you got to give them, you got to start there to be fair and give them a little credit. Having said that, that game on Saturday night, they should be playing Rams in the second round of the NFC playoffs.
I got to be thinking.
I mean, this game falls on the sidelines, on the coaching decisions, and what you were talking about, the offensive play calling and the lack of the inability or stubbornness to not make adjustments during the course of that game. You know, they came in as a team that likes to pound the rock.
Yes.
Right? They like to pound the rock, and they did so well over the course of the year, turning that offensive line around and really making hay on the ground and winning games the old-fashioned way, as they did in the 70s, as teams did in the 70s. And they got to a point, and we wondered coming in, because the Cowboys, the strength of that defense was how they stopped the run. So there was a something's got to give situation
in
the game.
So what is that, Mitch? Because you hit it on the head. We knew. Like, the guys with the brains in the head knew that they were going to probably have trouble with the run because of what the Cowboys did.
No, they don't know. But when you do something well, you don't know. Because
so
you do something
so really
well, you
that
think...
ignorant. They really...
No, not ignorant. They're confident. They say, hey, this is what we do best, and nobody can stop us, and we're going to do this, and we're going to impose our will, and we're going to do what got us here.
Wow.
And to me, that's fine. The first half, to me, a lot of people are griping about the play calling in the first half. First half was fine. They wanted to establish the run.
I'm with you there.
And they tried. But at some point, I mean, what's clear is at some point, you got to let the game talk to you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's stubbornness. I don't know if certainly they saw what we were seeing, that the Dallas Cowboys were selling out defensively to stop the run.
Yes.
They were selling out. And we talked about it during the break, Steve, when Russell Wilson play actioned, when he faked to the running back and threw the ball down the field, they were having loads of success. And
at one point, Tyler Lockett, no one was even covering him.
Well, not only that, on that play that you're talking about, a defensive lineman jumps in, and as he fakes to go to the running back, the defensive lineman goes with the running back. He's standing next to Russell Wilson. He goes with the running back. That's how focused the Cowboys were to stopping the run. And they didn't adjust. Yeah, they threw it a little bit, but they continually ran it on first down, ran it on second down, 1 yard, 2 yards, negative 1 yards, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 14, until it was too late. And the analogy that I made on the podcast this morning, and it's a terrible one, but you'll get it, is it's like if you drove to work for 15 years and you had your way, right, BJ? You have your way to getting to the studio. Maybe you have a little side road. You know exactly the way to get to the studio that you've been taking for years and years. That's the fastest way to get here. And you're proud of what you weigh. You do your way great. And then there's a day every once in a while that on your way, something happens. There is a traffic jam. There is some construction. There's an accident. And all of a sudden, your way, which was the best way on that particular morning, there's a congested situation. You got to make a decision. Are you going to stay
stay the course, stay on the road with the backup, or are you going to get off of that road and go a different way to work on this particular morning?
Yeah.
And that other way, by the way, that other way to work is Russell Wilson. He's the face of your organization.
That's what's disappointing.
He's going to make 30 next year is his last year on his contract. He's going to be a $30 million a year guy. How can you go? I would just ask this to Brian Schottenheimer and Pete Carroll for the great job that you did this year. I would ask this. How can you go to the offseason? How can you clean out the locker rooms and say goodbye to everybody, having not given number three the chance to put the team on his shoulders and take him into the second round?
It's always in the fourth quarter when they go, now we'll give him a chance.
That's what I thought for sure after the third quarter.
Give him a shot. Just give him the chance to win the football game for you.
So, Mitch, what?
And they just didn't do it.
And he still almost had a chance of doing it, which is crazy.
He's great in the fourth quarter. By the way,
he might be great in the third quarter if we let him.
This may be too stat geek for you guys, but play action pass. Mm-hmm. Your audience knows play action pass,
which is when you make it look like you're going to run, but you're actually going to
pull the back. Pull the ball back after you fake the handoff and you throw the ball down the field. This season in play action passes, every quarterback in the NFL, the highest rated team and quarterback in play action passes, the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson. Number one in the National Football League. And by the way, they were doing great in play action passes the whole game.
Is there something about in their brain, though, they go, that only happens because we've established the run? Is that why they felt like maybe they hadn't established the run enough to make the play action pass work? Because if you're not running the ball, then their brains start thinking, well, they know we're going to have to pass it, so we won't pass it, because it's only when you have a good run can you really do it.
And how were they passing it on play action when they weren't able to run the ball?
Exactly.
How are they doing? I mean, it's right in front of them. Thinking? It's like the nose on my face. It's pretty clear.
So just
right?
stubbornness. Yeah. See, the thing is I get Marty. I get Schottenheimer being not Marty yet, but the other Brian. I get Brian being stubborn. But that's where Pete's supposed to go. I don't care what you're thinking. Yeah. I'm the guy. We need to go do this.
Yeah. I can't. You know, I just can't believe that at some point of the third quarter, late in the third quarter, maybe even early in the fourth quarter, Pete Carroll doesn't step in and say to Brian, "Hey, let's give Russell a chance here."
Oh, so it finally did happen.
No. I'm surprised it never really happened that Pete didn't step in.
I mean, the fourth quarter, they finally went to
well, at the end of the game where they're two scores down with a couple of minutes to go, then you have to throw it on every down. But so, you know, look, as a Seahawks fan, we're all Seahawks fans. You didn't expect to be where you were. And I guess there's 7 months to applaud them and the job they did to turn this thing around. It was a magical coaching job by that staff. But today's not that day.
Do you believe?
Today is not that day.
Do you believe?
They should have won the game, BJ. They should have.
I agree with you.
To be sitting here and talking about somebody else playing in Los Angeles against the Rams is awful.
And you got to be thinking that Dallas could be, if they're smart enough, they should be having this conversation too in a negative way. Like, wow, I mean, they were the Hawks did everything they did, and still we almost lost. I got to be thinking Dallas can't be too happy with themselves. I mean, sure, Prescott had some nice plays and they had some nice runs, but really, I mean, they almost got beat by us.
Yeah.
Considering that we shot ourselves in the foot so much, and
I don't think they care. I think
they're going to LA. They better.
I think that game is just to win a playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks. They might say the game wasn't as close as 2 points. They had to score late. The Seahawks had to score late to make it a 2-point game. So you could look at it a lot of different ways.
Do you feel the way Russell Wilson feels, like this is like 2012 after the Atlanta loss? Because that's what he says he feels like. Do you feel like that?
Well, there's some similarities. No, I don't think I feel that way, because I think I was more encouraged about that team in 2012 and the future of that team than I am. I think there's a lot of work still yet to be done on this team. I don't think they're ready for that kind of a run yet. It's an important offseason, and they have a lot of money. For the first time in several off seasons, this is a big factor, they are in great shape with the salary cap. I read a piece by Greg Bell, the Tacoma News Tribune, just the other day, who's terrific, and he wrote that they have $63 million to spend under the cap, which is the ninth most in the National Football League. So John Schneider, the general manager, has plenty of money to use. They're not big. I don't think they'll be big free agent spenders, but they got to have better drafts than they've had. They haven't had great drafts lately. Like the 2012 analogy, they were coming off of some great drafts where they're getting guys like Doug Baldwin late and you know, Richard Sherman late in the draft. Doug Baldwin, I think, was an unrestricted or was a undrafted free agent. So they've got to have better drafts. They got to spend their money, which they now have to spend wisely, and continue to build on what they have. But no, I don't feel like they're in the catbird seat like I felt coming out of that Falcons game in 2012.
And we're talking to Mitch Levy, by the way. Mitch has got a new podcast. It's called Mitch Unfiltered. Check it out on iTunes. Or
this is where this kind of stuff happens twice a week.
Yeah.
Mondays and Thursdays.
I'm a whiner when it comes to me. All the way back to our first Super Bowl when I feel like, you know what, we lost to the refs. I really feel in a playoff game, man, pass interference calls, I think you have to assault the guy. I think you have to basically beat him to death in order to have a call like that, especially in a close game like that. Those two pass interference calls basically were the game to me. I just don't think the refs should have that much power in a one-and-done game. How do you feel about that? I just feel like they got to like let him play.
So had the roles been reversed and Seattle been on offense, you would have said... gift?
I would have said gift. I would have said gift. Because I'll tell you, I felt the same way
about...
Well,
KJ Wright was one of the guys who I think that you're referring to, the late penalty. Yeah. And he said after the game, it was a penalty. I grabbed him. And you know those pass interference calls and those illegal contact calls and whole defensive holdings. They miss some.
The thing is they don't get everybody, and that's why I say they got to let them play in a playoff game. Because when you see what they miss, they did miss some on our side, then you go, well, dude, that really swings a game.
Well, they're big calls. There's no question about that. The officials can't call every single one. You know, it was the Seattle Seahawks. In 2012, 13, 14, 15, who kind of changed the game from the standpoint that they challenged the refs. They challenged the officials to call it because they played the most contact of any defensive backfield in the National Football League. It was Richardson. They played you. They roughed you up every single play. And they dared, essentially, the officials to call a penalty on every down. And what the Seahawks did is they just knew that the officials are not going to call it on every play. And there were some big ones in those years, 2012, 13, and 14. But no, I you know what? I don't find myself, BJ, sorry. I don't find myself here this morning feeling like the officials took the game away from us like I did after the Super Bowl that Mike Holmgren coached in. Because there was just so much to me that the Seahawks could have done, especially that coaching staff.
Yeah, that's
for me to sit here and say it was the officials that took the game away from me. I just don't have that. I don't have that feeling this morning because I just feel like the Seahawks should have, you know, made the in-game adjustments, given the ball to number three, and given them a chance. I think they would have won the football game had they made the in-game adjustments.
You mentioned defense. I mean, I agree 100%. More of it was on the coaching and the offense, but there were moments on the defense, and I thought they played a great game. But for the first time all season where I was just like, I kind of really do miss Earl Thomas in this kind of a situation. I feel like there were some moments during that game where a guy like him could have been a difference maker, whether it be Dak Prescott with that run at the end of the game or even just some of the runs by Ezekiel Elliott where it's just like, where was anyone?
Well, I would just say to you this. The defense was a mediocre defense statistically all year.
Yeah.
It was not a great defense for the whole year. So when you consider what they did in the situation, I would submit this to you. The Dallas Cowboys were one of the worst third down defenses in the National Football League.
Teams
converted on third down against them 42% of the time.
We did nothing.
The Seahawks were 2 out of 13. And guys, what happens? And by the way, they're 2 out of 13 for a reason because they're running, and it's 3rd and 8, 9, and 10 instead of 3rd and 2, 3, and 4, which has been all year for the Seahawks. So what happens to the defense when your offense can't convert on third down and you keep sending the defense out there to do your work for you? It's kind of like a dam. And late in that game, I think the defense played very well in the first half to keep them alive and kind of kept the Seahawks in this game while the offense tried to find itself. And by the end, the dam broke and the defense, penalties and a couple of long drives, and it was lights out for the Seahawks.
Somebody has a question for you, Mitch. Do you think that they'll sign Russ long term?
Oh, yeah. I think they will. I think it's going to be a ball buster. I think it's going to be a ball. Yeah. He is represented. You'll get a kick out of this, BJ. He's represented by a baseball agent.
Oh, really?
So a guy who deals with no salary caps.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people locally who are just assuming, oh, Russell's going to give him a hometown discount and it's going to be easy. And I think it's going to be a very difficult negotiation. I do. And I think he's going to get a lot of money. And you'll maybe end with this stat. Just remember this when they sign Russell Wilson, that the six highest paid quarterbacks this year, the six highest paid quarterbacks in 2018 have one thing in common. Let's beat Migs. What's the one thing, you know, pork, you know, pig.
Yes, I do.
You know, live the day. What's the one thing that the top six paid quarterbacks in football in 2018 have in common?
I'm going to say, the top six.
Six highest paid quarterbacks have one thing in common.
They all have a good offensive line?
None of them. We're in the playoffs.
Oh.
They all watch the playoffs on television. Now, you ask me, is that a coincidence?
Really? So even but people make all it more six, than Brady. Oh, that's right.
All six, because Brady's not in the top six. All six watch the playoffs on TV. Whoa. So you ask me, why? Is that a coincidence? It's not easy to pay a quarterback $30 or $33 million with a salary cap and then build the necessary things around them to put them in the playoffs. So keep an eye on that as Russell Wilson negotiates the long-term.
And he didn't have two kids to feed before the last contract. this is a tough thing, man.
I forgot about that. Plus, all the presents and the toys you got to buy.
Yeah.
Well, Mitch, thank you so much. Mitch Levy's been with us talking Hawks, talking other stuff, too. And don't forget Mitch's new podcast, Mitch Unfiltered, iTunes or MitchUnfiltered.com. Mitch, thanks for coming in. It's not easy to be what you've been through and still decide, you know what, you're going to come in and talk to us, especially, you know, since we're, you know, I wasn't always kind to you, haven't I? Okay. And yet you still came in, which I think shows a lot.
I'm not a victim here. I'm just recovering like a lot of other people for a lot of other things. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you for reaching out right after the incident and taking me to lunch and putting your arm around me. And, you know, I met Steve in the office a couple of two, three weeks ago, and the guy hugged me. He didn't even know me. He hugged me.
I did. I'm just blown away by it. It means
a hell of a lot.
And so now you know where your wallet is.
Congratulations.
Yes.
I also know.
I caught the feel. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I also know where the guys that have been bashing my heads for 15 years now sit. I know where you live, BJ.
Yeah, you do.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so, so very much.
I love the
and your audience.
Texas.
Thank you.
Oh, man, I missed hearing Mitch talk about the Hawks. Great to hear your voice again. Another person says, this is the most powerful. Talking about what we talked about earlier, the most powerful and meaningful thing I've heard you guys ever do. Amazing. Great message today, fellas. And another person, Mitch, is the best voice on sports radio. And it's just great to have you back.
Thank you.
There you go. Again, MitchUnfiltered.com. Go check out the website.
Thanks so much.
Out the podcast. It is time for Listeners on the Loose, where you pick the topic, you guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. I know what I'm doing. Your calls, your texts at 917 on the Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on the Rock, 99.9 KISW,
the Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show at 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Whatever you want to talk about, Listeners on the Loose. You pick it, you guide it, but remember, Steve has a rule.
Show some energy and bring it. Just to show some energy and bring it, BJ.
Yeah, that's it.
Otherwise, we're going to have to gong and then say goodbye.
Goodbye, old friend.
206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
Some people are texting about the Golden Globes, which, of course, I watched very intently, BJ. But
I think that's a lie.
That is 100% a lie. Yeah. But one person says, did you hear about the woman that called another woman a bitch on the Golden Globe red carpets? It was hilarious.
Yeah, and the other woman was Alison Brie. And isn't that the woman that's in the wrestling show you like?
Globe.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, she was also, I think, in Community, and she was in Mad Men. And I actually like Alison Brie a lot. So the idea that this would be said about her, but yeah, This Is Us, a big show on NBC. Chrissy Metz is on that show. And at the end of a Facebook Live interview, when the host introduced Alison Brie, who was at the other end of the red carpet, the camera cuts away, but the Facebook Live microphone stayed hot, and some online observers were sure they heard that Metz called Alison Brie a bitch, is what they heard.
Now, in all fairness, I'm reading things on TMZ, and I guess the Metz woman said, I never said that. This is fully not true. I was calling her a babe. So it's kind of, I'm trying now to hear it, because you can hear her say she's such a and you hear the B of the word, but you don't hear the rest of it.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
Do you know a girl named Allison Brie?
Do I?
Well, I hear she's at the other end of the carpet.
Oh. Let's go see Allison Brie. I'm like, do I? She's such a baby. Well, look, I'm just overjoyed to be here with one of my dear friends, Allison Brie.
I thought I heard babe. Now he's wanting to hear bitch.
Yeah, man. I want to hear bitch because I just like drama.
Can we blow that up? I mean, anyway, let's try that again. Let me see if I can hear that again. I'll listen really loud in my headphones because it sounded like bitch to me.
Okay.
Here we go.
Do you know a girl named Allison Brie?
Do I?
Well, I hear she's at the other end of the carpet.
Oh. Let's go see Allison Brie. I'm like, do I? She's such a babe. Well, look, I'm just overjoyed to be here with one of my dear friends, Allison Brie.
She said she's such a babe.
Yeah.
You heard babe?
Oh, I heard babe for sure.
Yeah.
I can't really tell. So
I heard Laurel.
Yanny.
I heard Yanny.
Yeah.
It sounds like bitch to me, but it's also kind of like the way that
Laurel.
She says stuff beforehand where it's like, oh, do I? Like, it's almost kind of like a bitchy tone.
But see, you can take it both ways.
Exactly, yeah.
On the flip side, it almost sounds like she's like, oh, do I? Kind of like...
Yeah.
Of course I know who she is.
I think if you told me she said such a bitch, I would hear a bitch. And then if you told me she said such a babe without throwing bitch in my head, I think I might have heard babe.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I want it to be bitch so bad because that'd be so funny.
I would be surprised that she would say something like that, you know, knowing that she just came from an interview. I really, really would. Hasn't anybody learned from the Donald Trump, you know, being caught with a microphone that's live saying horrible things? No one says anything with a mic on him.
But if you hate that person so much.
Yeah.
And you just saw the person next to your assistant. You're like, they asked me about that bitch.
Yeah.
I can't believe, though, all you hear is bleh. And it just leaves you hanging.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
We want to know. Well, Metz says it's completely fabricated. That's not what she said. And now we'll never know.
On Allison Brie's Instagram story, she goes on and says, like, everything's good between us. I love you so much type of thing. So she totally said babe. I'm just saying.
You know,
a subtweet in there, her's calling her a bitch as well.
Yeah. The problem is depending on the kind of person, babe is just as bad. You know, we had Sarah talk to us last week about how some people don't want to be objectified, so bitch and babe could be just as bad.
Stirring the pot, BJ.
I'm not saying that's what Chrissy Metz wanted to do, but sometimes you can't even say babe and you might be in trouble.
But it's girl on girl at that point, so you can say it, right, Vicky?
I call a lot of girls babe, like as a term of endearment, kind of like how I call everyone sweetie or hun or effer.
More important, I'm glad this person brought it up because I was late to the game and I finally heard it and I'm on one side. But did you guys hear the Grover Sesame Street audio?
No.
We can't play it because it sure as hell sounds like, I mean, they're saying he didn't say the F word, but it sounds like he said the F word.
I've seen that video.
Bro,
I thought somebody just made it up, and it was like that, in fact, just somebody was doing a Grover voice. It really was a legitimate broadcast.
It was, I bet.
I have heard it.
Their intention probably was not to say that, and I'm sure it was just the way that the words kind of mixed together.
Well, then what the hell was he saying? Did they have an explanation? Because I thought I thought somebody put a theme, a video up, who did a great, and just overdubbed a great Grover impression. So that's real.
It's Grover was saying, yes, that's an excellent idea, but it sounds like, yes, that's a effing excellent idea.
Yeah, it sounds completely like he's saying that.
And like I said, I put on my Twitter page, at I'm Steve Miggs, I'm like, I'm late to the Grover debate, but he totally dropped the F-bomb.
Oh, I totally ignored that because I didn't think it was real.
No, that was real.
And has Sesame Street come out and said, here's what Grover was really saying?
Yes, they said that he didn't curse.
Well, then what? Yeah, but what did he say that wasn't the F word?
I said, yes, that sounds like an excellent idea, but the way it was said, it must have just been kind of mushed together, so it sounds like he said effing. Which we've had happen on our show before where you said something or I said something and it sounds like we dropped an S-bomb or an F-bomb when we didn't.
But I'll tell you this, though, Steve. We've gone back and said, okay, we can hear it the other way. There is no way you can convince me that Grover's not using the F-word.
Here's the thing. I watched this video, and in the video, because it was just a little six-second thing on Twitter, I thought he said the effing word. Now, when I was reading what they say he actually says, then the F-word just goes away.
Oh, see, I read it, and I still heard the F-word.
See, I lost it. Completely. So it was just like, again, one of those Laurel Yanny sort of color things. Yeah, where once it happens, it's like, oh, yeah, now I can't hear it at all.
Wow. Okay, I'll have to go have you tell me what he says and I'll listen to it again. Because what they translated does not sound anything like what the F word sounds like.
I
Whoa.
I just think it'd be funny if all of a sudden Grover just said screw it and just starts cursing on Sesame Street.
He's a guy, yeah.
Today's letter of the day is F.
Yeah, I think he would lose it because Elmo's taking all his glory, right? So I think if I was Grover, I'd be like, you know what, I used to be like the cute Muppet.
Drama on Sesame Street.
And then Elmo comes along.
Well, and Elmo called him a bitch once.
Oh, there was that.
Red carpet, yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't Babe? I thought it was.
Did you watch any of the Golden Globes?
All I watched was just the monologue from Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh, because I wanted to see how those guys did.
Did you catch Big Lebowski guy?
Oh, Jeff Bridges?
Yes.
No, I didn't catch any of that.
Oh, you got to hear the audio of this, bro.
Oh, well, because he did. He was up for the season. I knew he was up for the Cecil B. DeMille Award. I knew that.
He got that.
And so that's a lifetime achievement thing. I saw a little bit with Jim Carrey. I didn't see this, though. I guess everyone is talking about this because his acceptance speech was reminiscent of the Dude character.
Absolutely.
We all have been tagged, right? We're all alive right here, right now. This is happening. We're alive, man. We're alive. We can make a difference. We can turn this ship in the way we want to go, man. Towards love, creating a healthy planet for all of us.
Dude.
Yeah, and I get the tone because I did catch enough of the show because Sandra Oh had a pretty powerful statement about the fact that there were a lot of women, and because of Crazy Rich Asians, there was a lot of Asian representation that you don't normally see. It's usually white males. So it feels like he was going on that thing like, yeah, dude, this is the time, you know, but it did sound like the dude.
Have you seen Crazy Rich Asians?
No.
It's good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
All right.
I watched the second half. My wife watched the first half, fell asleep. And then it was like, hey, I was watching this when you weren't home. Do you want to watch the rest of it with me? I'm like, sure. Just kind of tell me what happened before this. And she kind of built me up to it. And it was good.
I don't know what's happened in my life, but I don't think anybody who makes any movie would say, the review I hope to get is that, hey, it's good. My wife fell asleep during the first half, and then I only watched the second half. Good movie.
I didn't want to make her have to sit through the whole first half. So just tell me what was going on, I'll pick up with you.
This is what people have to think about when they're making movies now. It's like, you're making them for Steve.
Well, two thumbs up.
Yeah.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Actually, if they thought about that, then the second half of Suicide Squad would have really been good. But unfortunately, it wasn't. Yeah. All right. So, if we have some time, we'll do some other stuff that happened. Because Christian Bale also made a little bit of news because of who he thanked. It is Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. More of your calls. More of your texts. And I would love to play Christian Bale's audio, too. Coming up on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic, you guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. You can also text us at 77999. Let's go to Joe Dredd. Joe, you are on The Rock. Hold on a second, Joe. Now you're
good
on.
Morning.
Good morning, buddy. What's up?
So you guys were talking earlier about thieving things and whatnot, and when I was listening to you, there was something came up. Steve said, oh, I could steal this. Vicky would be the lookout.
Yeah.
Because she's too short to help out.
Yeah.
So that reminded me of a story that comes out of what I call the Gary Wilson files. I had this friend years back named Gary Wilson, and he was like one of the most eccentric musician artist guys you'd ever meet. And he liked to steal unique things to have in his house. And this was one of the stories. One night, I think it was about 2 in the morning, we're sitting around. He's bored. He goes, you know what? I want a barber pole. And I'm like, I am not helping you steal a barber pole. But there's these two friends of ours that were teenagers that were there. Oh, we'll help. We'll be the lookouts. So they take off out of the house, and they're gone like maybe 30 minutes. Next thing I know, Gary comes back by himself. I'm like, okay, what happened? Where's the barber pole? He says, well, we're on the street. The kids are supposed to be the lookout. I'm over there with the wrench, going to town trying to get it loose. They're standing there talking to each other and not playing lookout. So what happens? A cop drives past them, locks up his brakes, slams it into reverse, so they all scatter, right?
Yeah.
Gary being smart, he starts hopping over fences, going through people's backyards. The two teenagers run straight to the car. And that's where the cops got him and took him to jail.
See that? The lookout's the ones that got in trouble.
I'm with Gary. Having a barber pole would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Well, dude, that, like I said, that's just one of the stories. He's got this human pelvic bone. And now if you want that story, I can give that one to you, too.
What, he stole somebody's pelvic bone?
Oh, yeah, gravedigger stuff.
Oh. Oh. He literally dug up somebody's grave.
No, him and a friend, this is before he moved to Seattle, he's in Spokane. Him and a buddy, they each wanted a bone, a certain bone. And they were frying on acid when they did this. So they didn't have any flashlights, so they took a bunch of candles. And so they lit all these candles around this grave, dug it up like some really, really old grave, so they knew there wouldn't be any decomposing stuff.
What?
They opened up the casket.
No.
One guy took the femur. Gary took the pelvic bone. And then they're like, all right, we got one. And they just left with the grave open with these candles burning around it. So the next day, the news is all freaking out about some satanic cult grave robbing stuff. And he goes, that's when I decided to pack my stuff and move to Seattle.
There you go. He's probably the guy that doesn't put the weights back at the gym, too, huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
Those same close the grave up.
It's the same kind of evil.
That is so messed up.
I appreciate the call, Joe. Man, and he said the guy's name. I don't know if that guy wants people to know that he's that guy, but I think I'm going to be careful if I meet anybody named Gary.
Maybe the statute of limitations have gone from that.
Oh, I don't care about that. It's just, I don't know if I want Gary be stealing stuff from me, my pelvic bone right out from under me.
We got a text at 77999. Hi, it's Cricket. Hey, Cricket. Christian Bale thanking Satan for inspiration for his character and vice was the best part of the Golden Globes, in my opinion.
Yeah, some people are really not knowing what to make of this, but it's obvious that he was basically hating on Cheney.
Sure.
Yeah, but there is a satanic cult or at least some Satan worshippers that actually thanked Christian Bale for thanking their Lord and Savior, basically.
What the f*** is it with you?
But that's not what he meant.
Thank you to that geezer over there, Adam. He said, I've got to find somebody who can be absolutely charisma-free and reviled by everybody. So he went, that's got to be Bale. Thank you to Satan for giving me inspiration on how to play this role.
It is funny that that's Batman.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like him.
I know. It's because I mean, I don't know how many people know that he is English, but yeah, that's Christian Bale.
Oh, good for you.
Have you seen any previews for that movie? The makeup looks so amazing.
Yes.
You don't know it's Christian Bale at all.
So that movie won for best comedy? Is it a comedy?
Comedy or a musical? Yeah, so
it's definitely not a musical.
It must be a comedy. I didn't know it was a comedy either. It has to be a comedy. I don't think anybody's singing it.
Or is it like Fancy Pants comedy?
I think it's like satire. Like, yeah, Fancy Pants. Like,
and then, yeah, and this is the Golden Globes where
smart
they
smart comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was directed by Adam McKay, who has done a lot of
Anchorman
stuff. Yeah.
Okay, I'm back on board.
Okay, good.
Adam McKay is funny.
Also want to give a good shout out to Rami Malek. He won Best Actor for Bohemian Rhapsody. It also won Best Movie.
Why are people upset about that?
You know what? I read an article, too, where people are upset about that. And one guy from at least the Daily Beast said it was a horrible movie, and I don't know what movie he watched.
Okay, that's, again, all the critics that hate that movie, but it seems like everybody that's not a critic loved that film. And how do you give him a hard time for his portrayal? He nailed it.
Yeah, he did a great job.
I think a lot of people are fans of Lady Gaga, and they're mad because they wanted her to win.
Oh, instead of him.
Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of her monsters just freaking out.
Well, and that's...
men or women can win this award?
I believe it's the movie award, like, as well.
Oh, it's the movie award they're mad about, which means Star is Born is what they're mad about.
They had to tell all those Lady Gaga fans to suck it.
Right?
I mean, they get mad at everything. They get mad and then target whoever beat out Lady Gaga for whatever it is, a music award, a acting award, and they all go and just, like, kind of accost whoever it is that beat her.
And they're not acting the way that she wants people to treat her and her fans.
Right.
You know, because she's always about be nice, be inclusive to us, and that her fans, you're right, some of them act like Jack. Jackasses.
Bunch of bullies.
Yeah. It's so ironic for the little monsters who are basically, you know, the island of misfit toys that she wants everyone to come together. And I know what that's like. I think it's a great message. And then they act like idiots. Well, anyway, that's what it is, man. I'm happy because it was a great movie and Rami Malek did a great job. And he finally gets a Golden Globe because I think he should have got one for his TV portrayal in Mr. Robot and never got one. So I think that's also another reason why maybe he got the award because, you know, sometimes they give you
like a make good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some people go, hey, come on, the guy's amazing in this show, and how come he didn't get anything?
I don't know. I'll just say, even if you're not a fan of the film, watch his performance. He knocked it. I'm saying this based on just trailers and clips that I've seen. I know you've seen the movie, and I think, Vicky, you saw it as well. No, not yet. But, I mean, he
did a good job.
Just took over, like he became Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, and I learned so much more about Freddie than I knew because I was never a huge Queen fan, but I became a much bigger fan after that movie, which is really
a lot of people did.
Yeah. A cool effect. Here's a question for you: what do Ryan Castle and a steakhouse have in common? Well, you're going to find out at 9:49 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW. He's the drunk in charge. Now, the Ryan Castle question of the day.
What do Ryan Castle and a steakhouse have in common?
You get crabs on just about anything.
He's back.
Right.
It's Ryan Oscar.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
God, that's good. That's good. We went to Daniel's a couple weeks ago.
Oh, why do you got to tell us that?
Yeah, because I want to go. And the lobster mac and cheese.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, that does sound pretty awesome.
Yeah, lobster mac.
You guys are done here.
Fun fact about that place, if you have a vegan wife or a husband or whatever, you can go there because they have a full vegan menu at Daniel's.
That's nice when a restaurant does that. That way you can go out and really have a nice experience as a vegetarian.
As my wife watches me eat my meat.
Yeah, it's got to be tough there because meat's on everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just getting slapped in the face.
Don't they have meat carpets? I mean, it's everywhere there.
It's true.
Yeah, it's nice.
Boy, that sounds awful.
No, it doesn't sound right at all. You're right.
Never mind.
I like this one text that says you pay a lot of money to get a small portion of meat.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, this one woman, Deanna from Florida, she wanted to go to a steakhouse, wanted to go to Outback. Parents said no. It made her so mad, she punched her mom, flipped over the dining room table, and then attacked her dad with a kitchen knife.
All right.
Completely understandable.
Don't know if she went to the Outback, but she did go to the jail is where she went to. That's right. Ryan Castle. He's not out back. He's right here, and he's got a 12-pack.
BJ and Migs, play of the day.
When we were kids, my brother and I, we were really into those traffic flashing lights. Those little boxes that had the flashing yellow light. So one time, we took a bunch of them, and we filled up my room, so my whole room was just flashing.
Oh, come on.
And we thought it was awesome until my mom and dad realized what we did, and they're like, what the F?
Your poor father.
Why?
Because he was a geeky guy like me, and all he wanted somebody is just to watch Star Trek with him.
So it felt like a spaceship in there.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. If I call Travis, will I actually see him or someone who works for him?
Absolutely. When you come in to see my office, when you first call in, my staff will try to help you with any basic questions that you have. I can give you a call back, but they'll usually try to schedule you for a free consultation with me, the attorney, and I'll meet with you personally. We'll talk about the basics of your case, and I'll take you through a question and answer session that usually an interview that usually lasts about 30 minutes, where we'll get the basics of your financial situation. I can answer your questions, and we can talk about whether bankruptcy makes sense, your non-bankruptcy options, and how bankruptcy could affect you, what the process is.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.